Thank you for tuning in with us today. To begin with, Jim Showers, Executive Director of Friends of Israel, writes, "News regarding the impact of the coronavirus is everywhere. Each day brings troubling new information via television or the internet and/or email. We are being encouraged to change our lives in significant ways. The term social distancing enters our vocabulary today as we hear it over and over and over again. As you know, President Trump has declared a state of emergency for the entire country. With President Trump's declaration, our natural tendency is to retreat from participating in any activity that may expose us to the virus. This morning, as I was getting gas at Costco and 98.9 cents per gallon, who would have thought? But there was a man cleaning the pump handles as each car left. And there is this fear. But continuing with the thoughts of Jim Showers, school and universities are closed. Major sporting events have been canceled or postponed. Extracurricular activities are being discouraged. And sadly, even our churches have suspended services," unquote. Ed Frumpton, president of the International Board of Jewish Missions, writes, "Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in these trying times when it appears that things are out of control. I am so thankful we belong to a great sovereign God who has absolute power and control," unquote. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to gather in this form today. We thank you for those who have tuned in and, Lord, who are listening. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit would move and touch hearts as the scriptures are read. And, Lord, we ask that your will would be done. And this we do in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. The title of this morning's lesson is "The Name That Is Above Every Name." And in a little bit, we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 21 about the triumphal entry. And the question will be, who is this? Who is this one that is entering? Who is so important? What is special about his name? William Shakespeare tells us that there is nothing special about a name. We've all heard it. He says that if a rose was called by any other name, would smell just as sweet. Well, in a sense, however, he is wrong. If I were to give you a signed check for $1 million, it'd be worthless. But a similar check bearing the name of Bill Gates would be of great value to you. Names do mean something. When you hear the name Moses, you think of the great leader and lawgiver. The name of David brings to mind the shepherd boy who was a giant killer who would become king, and he was also the author of the 23rd Psalm. The name of Solomon makes us think of wisdom and wealth. Names like D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Charles Spurgeon make us think of great preachers. Names on the Declaration of Independence makes us think of courage and liberty. Name like Thomas Edison, and it makes us think of electricity and the lights that we have in our house. And how about the name of Alexander Graham Bell and the fact that he brought to us the telephone, once hanging on our walls, now in our pocket or our purse? Henry Ford's name reminds us of the automobile industry. Yes, names do mean something. We ought to place a high value on our names and live in such a way never to bring reproach upon our name. I've mentioned this on any number of occasions. It was August 15th, 1971. I was standing outside the Detroit Airport Terminal, and I was about to fly to Texas, where I would begin taking lessons there at the Bible Baptist Seminary. And as I was standing there on the sidewalk in my suit, because I didn't want to have to pack it, my dad was standing in front of me, pointing a finger at me and saying, "Remember, you represent the Covenant Baptist Church." He said, "You represent the Madonna family, and you represent the Lord, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." See, names are special. The Bible tells us that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, Proverbs 22:1. Let us live then that when people hear our names, they will be reminded of goodness and godliness, and that we are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. But today I wish to present to you the greatest name that has ever graced heaven, the noblest name that ever was spoken upon the earth. This name, spoken by every tongue, tribe, race, has been spoken by those being burned at the stake or whispered in the hour of death. It is the blessed, wonderful name of Jesus. I quote to you from a thought by Bill Gaither. There's just something about that name. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophers have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet it still stands. Jesus. There's something about that name. If you would, the book of Matthew chapter 21, and we'll begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 11. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 1. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude," it says a very great multitude. So it was not just a multitude or a great multitude, it was a very great multitude, "spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Who is this? He is Emmanuel. He is our Savior. Point number one, his name is a saving name. Before Jesus' birth, the angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. Jesus was a teacher, a preacher, a healer, an example, but primarily he was and is a savior. He said, "Look unto me and ye shall be saved, all the ends of the earth. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. I'm often very sad for those who attend religious services where they're told if you're good enough, God has to let you into heaven, and that we are saved by our own good works. But the fact of the matter is Jesus Christ came to die so that we can have salvation, because our good works are not good enough. The book of Isaiah tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. See, we compare ourselves to fellow humans, but if we compare ourselves to a holy and just God, we fall very short of what is necessary for salvation. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 4, two verses. Acts chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, the best thing we can do is live a life where people can say, they've been with Jesus. What a blessing. Point number two, his name is precious. Peter said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. What's precious in your life? The word precious in the thesaurus says something of value, something beloved. As probably most of you know, because of Donna's involvement of Facebook and sending out texts, her precious dog Bandit passed away not too long ago. And of course, you know, there's sadness. She was just telling me just a little bit ago that she had another dream of Bandit. Well, he was precious to her. Something precious is something that is choice. If I were to ask you, where do you like to go on vacation? We probably all have our places that we think are the best. But what is your choice, your first choice? Something precious is dear. It is priceless. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It is precious. Do you remember getting that graduation diploma, maybe high school and then at college or university? It was pretty precious, wasn't it? But how about your children? Are they precious to you? Someone has well said the only thing you can take to heaven with you is your children and your grandchildren. I'm sure your grandchildren are very precious to you. How about pictures in your house? They're precious, aren't they? I've been going through some pictures and wondering what to do with them. And do you ever wonder what you should do with a picture, especially that one that doesn't make you look very good? Yes, precious. But I'm going to tell you something that's precious to me. She's sitting on the other side of the camera. She is so precious. And for over 47 years, she has been precious. But you know, as precious as my wife is, or my children, or my grandchildren, or pictures, or whatever, there's something that's even more precious. And that is Jesus Christ. He is our great love. Jesus is precious because of what he has done. His willingness to die to take away our sins. May I make it very clear to you, religion will not get you into heaven. Religion is man's attempt to reach up to God. But the fact of the matter is Jesus reached down so that we could have salvation. Jesus is precious because of what he has done. The book of Hebrews tells us, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. He shed his precious blood for you and for me. If there was another way of salvation, he would not needed to have died. He would not have needed to have come and to be mocked and crucified and put on a cross to die. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He is not only precious because of what he has done, but for what he will do. What he will do. He said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Can you imagine spending eternity with the Lord in a special place that he has prepared for you? But only if you've made reservations. You see, well, how do I do that? By accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. By realizing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By realizing your need to come to him, asking for forgiveness and asking him to become your Savior. This coming Friday, as we have the Good Friday service, we will be talking about the fact that he came to offer his body a sacrifice for our sins. In conclusion, please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. But Philippians chapter 2, and beginning at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And given him a name which is above every name. And the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. May I say that that will include even Lucifer. That will include the fallen angels. That will include the one that says there is no God. That will be the one who has worshipped idols and has followed false teachings. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Unfortunately, there are many today that say they have no need of a God. They say they have no need of this Jesus. But the Bible tells us that a day is coming in which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It is my hope, my prayer, that you will do it as a believer, not as one who admits it in the end, but it's too late. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for those who have been willing to come and to listen. Lord, we thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And again, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.